Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Nature-backed talk show, where we are talking with investors and entrepreneurs about the green future.
Welcome to Nature-backed, Diana.
Thank you for inviting me and having me.
You're running Beamline.
Yes.
Tell us, what is Beamline?
So Beamline is accelerator and fund. So what we do, we back clean tech teams in their very early stage of development, to help them to grow and to find the perfect scalable market.
You're based in Tallinn, but teams can be anywhere?
Teams basically can be anywhere, but we try to be very focused only for Europe. Again, it's just because of our how quickly we can get to the teams and how precisely we can help them. Because we maybe not so well knowledge about that, you know, Latin America landscape.
Mm. You said that you're working with clean tech. How do you guys define clean tech?
This is, super interesting. And I think that everyone, if you listen about it, what is clean tech, you think about clean technology, yes, as we like to shorten the words in startup life. Mm. But clean tech in European Commission has very, very wonderful definition. And I will even read it because I just found it recently and I'm really, really cool, happy about it. So clean tech is new technologies and related to it business models, which can offer competitive returns for investors and customers while providing the solutions for the global challenges. And this is exactly how we, when we didn't know exactly how clean tech will be evolving, it was how we felt about it, that we knew that clean tech is not only about energy, it's not about, some kind of logistics or some kind of purification stations, but it is about all of aspects of our lives when you think about how you use resources more effectively, you use clean energy, clean technology, less chemical compounds, and so on. So, and it means it can be wherever, from agriculture to food tech, from energy sector to logistics, transportation, to space tech, basically. Mm.
So basically, definition-wise, many people could probably think green tech when they say clean tech and vice versa.
Yes, I think it's now becomes more and more complicated, but that's why we stick and we believe in clean tech, because it is not only wider, but it's from one side, it's super wide. From other side, when you define the global challenge where the solution is addressed, then it's super clear.
Mm.
When you see, when you can understand, for example, as we have now in the current batch, I don't know, the batteries. And we really know that it means that by prolonging the lifespan of the batteries, we use the less of critical materials. We don't waste them. Boom. Mm-hmm. This is super clear. We know that this is shortage of the raw materials. We know the batteries, the production is not the cleanest one, and so on. So it means that if we keep our resources and we keep our equipment and machinery as long as possible, then it's already very good.
Mm. You said current batch. So as an accelerator, you work with a batch logic.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, what kind of teams or what's the kind of overarching theme of the batch you have in the accelerator now?
So just as a spoiler, yes, we have now, I would say, one of the most exciting batch because it's very deep tech and more focused in tackling with the challenges in material science, which for me is like the most interesting. But just to come back about the Beamline, as I mentioned from the beginning, that it's accelerated and fund. It means that we invest into teams. It means that when we decide that we want to work with team, first of all, we back them with cash, and then they enter the program, which is like from 3 up to 6 months for us, plus the alumni club that we keep stick together with the teams. And so this is a normal batch, what we have, so traditional equity, money, so on. And this deep tech batch is super interesting because it's at our first batch when we use non-equity money and we provide all kind, like very, very high, wide variety of different services for the teams, starting from the product development up to the business development and investments. So this is super complex and but because of it's done with the in cooperation with our Ministry of Climate, it means that we can help really these deep tech scientists, which are not, I would not say, not so attractive for the early stage accelerators as we are, but it is not. It's even not fair, but it's not right to take the equity in such an early stage of the deep techs, because the span when they start to think about the equity or start to go to the market is so long that they really need to take the non-equity money. But from the other hand, I truly believe that it is super cool that ministry has given this money to the private sector, because if we leave deep tech startups or scientists with their own startups ideas in the university, in the lab, and we will give them money only there, then it means that they will not be pushed to the community of the investors, of the mentors. They will not just meet same people, you know.
Basically, they will never get out of the lab.
Unfortunately, most, I don't want to say like, because I think also that the university are doing a perfect work, and they really try, and there are very cool communities built up already around the universities where they have their own programs. But still, we all know that, as we say it in Estonian, "Kyla kasvatab last," it's the same as like the community is growing up the startup.
Right.
Yeah. So the startup, to understand what's going on, he or she need not only communication with investors and corporates or the representatives of potential clients, but also just to communicate with the people who may be one step ahead or a couple of step ahead. Just to be in the community, because it's so important.
Absolutely. You mentioned earlier the alumni club. I think that's probably the crucial part of all accelerators.
Yes. This, because when you just work with these teams during this intensive program, it's you know, it's like when you, after the winter, you want to get you into shape and you go into some kind of retreat or camp, then you get so motivated because you have all your teachers and coaches and all these like-minded people all around, and you really, you're so pumped with the motivation and the inspiration that you just run. And as soon as you come home, the reality hits.
or the same analogy that, you know, it's the January when most people go to gym.
Yeah.
Then February hits.
Yes. Yeah. Especially in our climate. It's the same with the startups. Then when you are like carried and you know that you can call whatever time and you have all these workshops and you have meetups, then really when you stay alone in your lab and you get these challenges and you get these problems, then it's really, really nice if you have. And of course, also the idea of accelerator is like, again, from the definition, it's idea how to push you, so to give you extra momentum, and to keep up you need time. So we cannot even expect that everything will happen during 3 months. No, it will happen after a year, after 2 years. And sometimes all the knowledge what you have absorbed during the acceleration program it will reveal and become the skills really afterwards.
Let's do a quick break to the advertisements. We will be back in a few seconds. Welcome back. The personally, how did you got into the clean tech sector?
I think I was always into nature. I really loved it, and I was in our school. It was a club for the hiking. So, and I have had a book about how to, like, hiker survival guide or something like this, like for the kids. So I was continuously reading and trying to find the north and south and develop some tracks and so on. So it was always inside. And then when I just after the already before the graduation, I saw that I will go away from school and go start to save pandas and koalas. I know that they're in a different placements, but I knew that I need to save the turtles, the pandas and koalas. And then I even thought I go to Africa to save people and to save animals there. But I was lucky enough. I went to Tartu University to the Open Doors Day, and they were talking about a new department what they have just opened, and it was about environmental science. And it was not only about the scientific part, but it was like environmental science plus a little bit of policy and a little bit of municipality and governmental procedures about how you really make something happen on the level of the state. And for me, it was really, really like sweet spot, because I really loved all. So I learned physics and chemistry, but then we were even given like how this kind of stuff, when, you know, for me, very emotional person, when I was reading, I don't know, about damages we have, for example, in the Baltic Sea, about everything was, for example, all this unfortunate heritage from the First World War and from the Second One, how much of the chemical weapons we have dumped into the sea. So I was so depressed, and okay, what we should do? Like, how we can save them? So okay, pandas will survive, but how we here can survive? That's why I think for me it was very crucial that I got the knowledge about the policy making. That yes, we are the policies and regulations and different kind of management tools, you can really achieve something. And then I was really into project management. I was working very lucky to get very, very interesting work in one municipality in Maitakuze. And because we have had enough of money because of the oil shale, which again, like, really triggered my emotions about our nature. But from other side, because of the money were available, and our mayor was, he was okay with risks. So we have done several very, very unique projects for environment in the municipality. So we still are very unique, holding this low temperature based heating system in the village called Kikla. You can find this information in if you Google. We use abandoned mines as the source of the low temperature heat, and we use it to heat the whole village and to prepare the hot water. So it was very interesting in cooperation with the university. So this R&D, I know how it goes, from not only from the university part, but also from the part of the municipality of the near beneficiary. So, and all this just ended up that I don't know, I really think that Beamline in this case, as I also like learned with my life, that okay, emotions are emotions, we can hug the trees. I'm really sorry for all the trees huggers, but but as soon as we have money, we can funnel them and really do something for the trees and for the pandas and for everyone. So that's why clean tech and money are really the key for us to survive.
Mäetakuse, Kikla, that's in Ida-Viruma part of Estonia.
Yes, northeast of Estonia.
Northeast of Estonia, next to the border to Russia, for all the audience out there who is not very familiar with Estonian geography, which is probably the case for many of us. The Kikla, you know, being Estonian, I've never heard about Kikla.
Cool. So now you know, there is a Kikla.
Okay. But that project's still running. They still get the from their mines. Wow.
Yes. This is the magic from renewable energy sources that you, as soon as the machinery works and you maintain, it just gives you the energy. Wow. So yeah, it's not like the oil is over.
Right. And the koalas are saved and the pandas.
Yes. So I think that someday I will reach there. I just checked it. It was a little bit expensive to save pandas. It's rather expensive project.
But there are a lot of people around the world working on that probably, and there's not too many of them left. I think pandas are the part of the China's
heritage
diplomacy.
Yeah, because there are no any pandas left in the wild nature. It's like, it just, if you think about it, it's absolutely fascinating. It's like how quickly we have managed to damage the earth. It's like, it's everything what we are talking. I really like the book about these breaking points that we achieve it so quickly. It means that very often it's the same as you are building something, I don't know, team or your financial scheme, and you know if there is no enough of stability or the procedures are not there, then it breaks so quickly. You can imagine yesterday it was working and today it's over. It's just over like it can be, like clinically dead.
As an emotional person, how do you manage with this kind of stress, looking at the climate change and the environmental challenges, and pandas are dying and thousands of other species probably too on a regular basis?
This is, I think that it's not a secret for anyone, but if you do something with your passion, then you just... So for me, the biggest challenge is not to make any kind of substitutional activities. You know, if you are really thinking about that, yes, somewhere something is really bad, then not to put yourself into this kind of emotions and to try to, how you can say it, that's like smooth it or like to, I don't know.
Greenwashing
it from some aspect. Sense, like it is like negative. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes when I don't know, let's just play around a little bit another angle that I don't know. Kids are, I don't know, from refugees, don't have education, and you come in for the Christmas with the gingerbreads. This is super nice, super cute. But this is what I really want all of us to try to avoid, because emotions can bring this greenwashing, and let it be like green emotions. Mm-hmm. It means that we do something cute, but is it really necessary? Yes.
Does it make sense? Exactly.
Yeah.
Taking the contrast, I mean, with the climate change accelerating, we have hit the 1.5, the governments on a big scale talking to each other, nothing happens.
Yeah.
And then you work with dozen startups in this scheme. Can the startups actually do something about changing this paradigm where it seems like, you know, they're against the massive wall of, I don't know, policies or the slowness of their countries?
I think that's why I'm here, because I truly believe that this is the only who can save, only startups. It's the same as, you know, all these, in a good way, crazy guys who don't believe that something is impossible. They have some passion. They have some ideas. These are the scientists, you know, these crazy scientists. Those ones who argue with obvious things. Those ones who argue with corporates, who say, but we have done like this. Those ones who argue with that our grids cannot rely on renewables. Those ones who say, yes, it cannot now, but later. this again, we come back to the situation that all the governments and all the corporates, even if we will eliminate all of the ideas that they are some kind of agreements, pre-agreements, da-da-da, political games, but even in the best scenario, it means that governance and corporates, they have the high level of this very healthy inertia, because if they will start pushing the changes and shifts very quickly, society will never ever come, you know, then we end up with revolution. But from other side, this is super good that we have this kind of, you know, in, I hope, integrated and inclusive community of startups, because they should be, you know, like a liquid between this inertia and huge like bubbles, and they should like ping them, dun, 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 dun. And it means that they will push the whole system towards something. So this is like the smoothing the way for this huge machine which called our society. That's why and of course, what does it mean for the startups? First of all, what government should do, and what I really truly believe at policy. Now we know that the biggest value on this earth is talents. If we think about the humankind, it's only talents and this empathic relationship with humankind and with earth. First of all, so it means that we need to really invest into people, and this is also what startups do, and this is also what government can do by investing into education. Another is again policy making and working with with corporates and government, with high level of this pan-European government institutions, that how we make our regulations be more flexible or be more adaptable for the newcomers, some kind of like sandboxes in regulations for them to really to be a little bit quicker in disruption, and for the corporates to be more comfortable with accepting these new ideas. And of course corporates, but again corporates are also under pressure of corporates laws and regulations and all of this. So it means again, if we will create some kind of liquid, a little bit of liquid areas in all of this, so startups and new ideas can be can infuse into this stagmatic and really established systems more quickly, then I think this is how we can really proceed. And that's why accelerator is super critical, because we are like a bridge, and we can explain to the startups, okay, please, guys, this is how government really sees it. And, you know, if you meet Enefit, then you will understand how they see it. It doesn't mean they don't want to work with you. It just means that they have some troubles why they cannot do it. And this kind of translation, I think this is what we in our language call matchmaking. This is what we do.
We will be back after short messages from the sponsors. I hope there are many oil companies in this ad break for you. Welcome back. Starting to wrap up this discussion, what's next up for Beamline?
Next, I would like to grow a little bit more of our fund, so we could also co-invest with our investors. So it means that we could really, so Alumni Club would be not only networking and some help and some talks, but also follow-up investments. Because we know the teams, and we, by us as co-investors, we can lead these investors, because for us due diligence is already done. So for other investors who are just looking into the new teams, and especially in clean tech, if they haven't ever been to clean tech, this is again a little bit, you know, safe bet. So it means that by follow-up investments, I hope we will decrease or tick some, you know, risks management lists for the other investors. So this is what I want, to enhance and to develop further our mentorship and the investment credibility for the teams.
Mm. What's the link with the EIT, Inno Energy?
This is, yes, very good that you have asked, because this, I'm really happy about this cooperation. So EIT Inno Energy last year was the biggest clean tech investor in the whole Europe. They do their job, I would say, super good, because they invest, plus they co-invest with several of different big corporates from the Europe into energy sector. And as we already learned, the energy sector is also the same as clean tech, very wide. Inno Energy understood that they need so-called like prolongation of their hands. And they offered us to become a hub for the Baltic states. So we could be the extension of the Inno Energy. It means extension from one side of Inno Energy, huge network, which is more than 1,200 companies from all over the Europe plus US. So we can have this kind of very on-place connections here in Baltics. And plus, from our side, we help Inno Energy portfolio to grow in Baltic and in Nordics.
From the kind of accelerator side, more batches, more teams coming in?
From accelerator side, yes, I hope we will have maybe one more or a couple more these equity-free batches for the deep tech team, so we could really develop this new layer of deep tech companies in clean tech with clean tech focus. And also we continue with our traditional batches. But the main is that we can, from the beginning, we can connect the teams with big players from all over the Europe, so we can have direct call with Schneider or whoever else, ABB and so on. So I think the quality is what we hit the first, not the quantity.
Good. Thank you for your time, Jana, and good luck.
Thank you. Yes, luck is super needed.
Hey, it's Tim from 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys, the comedy podcast you had no idea you needed. Join Ben, Jeff, and me as we continue our musical road trip back through the years and around the globe. See, just when you thought all white guys were like Joe Rogan, you come across three educators trying to remember when we were cool.
50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Electricast. Welcome to Sara Talk Solutions. Ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned into a bit of a different type of show. I'm Sara B and I'm your host. You can find me on my IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA. I talk about amazing, relevant conversations and topics and what functions that goes on in this magical, wonderful, wonderful city of the City of Angels. My IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA. Electricast.